Hi, this is Daniel Garber, the movies for culturalmining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. Fall film festivals are as common as falling leaves, but I'd like to tell you about a few of them. Toronto After Dark is a cool place to catch up on all the latest horror, science fiction, and some just plain strange movies. Imagine Native is a celebration of Aboriginal art, music, and film, both from the First Nations artists and filmmakers, as well as many more from overseas. And there's a brand new festival starting this year called Real Indie Film Festival, showing new movies about, well, indie music. So, today I'm looking at an unusual movie from New Zealand, which says, "You are what you eat." A new documentary that says, "Rock and roll is a Mexican thing." And the movie that opened TIFF Film Festival this year that says, "Leaks are what make the world go round." Fresh Meat, directed by Danny Mulheron. Rena, played by Hannah Tavita, is heading home from the Maori School for Girls. She likes it there, but misses her family and friends. There's Margaret, her mom, played by Nicola Kawana, who's a chef on TV and author of a popular cooking guide for university students. Dad, played by Tamuera Morrison, is a prof who likes instilling Maori pride in her ancestral language, religion, and culture. Rena thinks it's stupid. Then there's her pesky little brother and even the neighborhood paperboy who's crushing heavily on her, as he says, her newly grown bosoms. But it's not just her figure that has changed since her last visit. It seems that her parents have taken up a strange religious practice that originated in the Solomon Islands. Wonder what that is. Meanwhile, a ruthless gang is out on the prowl. They're looking for a place to hide from the cops after their latest prison break. There's Tan, a cokehead in a tracksuit who thinks he's Bruce Lee, and Gigi, played by Kate Elliott, a cruel Betty Page lookalike. So where do they seek asylum? Yep, in Rena's suburban home. So they have guns and they know how to use them. What will happen to this innocent family at the hands of these sinister hoods? Well, not what you first think. Mom and Dad are on their own mission to Solomonize the world, reviving the ancient practices that they believe can lead to immortality. And that involves eating the raw hearts and livers of their enemies. They're cannibals. To them, everyone is either an ally who must be Solomonized, convinced to become a cannibal, or someone who can supply them with the fresh meat of the title. So who will survive? The good guys, the bad guys, or the really bad guys? Is there a spark of love between Gigi and Rena? And are they Maori cannibals or just cannibals who happen to be Maori? This is a horror comedy full of excessive killing, gore, brutality, and gratuitous sexual innuendo. It's also a lot of Maori lore, humor, and language. Real or fake, I have no idea. And a mainly indigenous cast. So if you're in the mood for some lowbrow dark humor and lots of red blood and bloody parts, body parts that is, check this one out. It's playing at Imaginative. Los Wild Ones, directed by Elise Salomon. Did you know there's a burgeoning rockabilly scene in L.A.? Well, there is. And this documentary follows Reb, a Dublin-born rocker, and his label Wild Records as they tap into the world of Mexican-American rockabilly. There's sharp concert shots and lots of music. The guys all have Brill Cream quiffs, bowling shirts and tattoos of the Ace of Spades. The girls wear pigtails and skirts. And they all look like Jaime Hernandez characters from Love and Rockets, the comic book. Their lives are all filled with auditions, nightclub performances, rehearsals, and radio shows, salted with swigs of raw gin and some first-rate bass slappin'. This documentary is mainly just a look at the music scene and an homage to the label. Not too exciting or eventful to watch, but pleasant to look at, and lots of good music to listen to. The Fifth Estate, directed by Richard Condon. I bet you've heard of WikiLeaks. It's a website that reveals documents and communications leaked by whistleblowers from the powerful halls of business, finance, and government. It was founded by Julian Assange, an Australian currently holed up in the Ecuadorian embassy in London. How did he get there? And why are foreign governments out to get him? Well, it was WikiLeaks, along with three news outlets, The Guardian, The New York Times, and Der Spiegel, that revealed the 250,000 cables and documents that fed the headlines for the past few years, pre-Snowden at least. They were leaked by U.S. private Manning directly to Assange, and it helped spark the Arab Spring, the falls of governments around the world, and the revelations of scandals galore. So this movie, The Fifth Estate, tells one version of the story. Julian, played by Benedict Cumberbatch, is portrayed as an Australian guy trying to change the world, but who carries with him the baggage of a troubled childhood. His membership as a child in a religious cult left him psychologically scarred and eternally suspicious. As an adult, he's deranged, possibly psychotic, an egotist determined to open everything he sees on his website to all the world, whether or not blood is spilled on the way. He enlists the bland but techno-savvy computer geek Daniel Berg, played by Daniel Brühl, to join his legion of supporters and volunteers, but he eventually reveals that there is no legion, just the two of them at their own laptops. Together, they reveal death squads in Kenya, a scandal in a Swiss bank, Tibetans in China in demonstrations, and eventually war crimes like the U.S. massacre of civilians in Iraq using an Apache helicopter. Their work is done with reporters from The Guardian and elsewhere scrambling to keep up with them. But Assange's sinister and bombastic attitude eventually sours their friendship, leading to a falling out of the two fast friends and a collapse of the site itself. Oh yeah, and in the background is a hands-off U.S. government personified by Laura Linney as a foreign affairs official who just wants to rescue their agents from the danger of exposure in the Middle East. I found this story fascinating with this twisted Assange character to watch, less so the Daniel Berg character, and the various reporters and the slew of great European actors like Karis van Houten. They're fun to follow, but politically, the movie is out to lunch. Are we supposed to believe that the U.S. government was a side player, especially since the NSA revelations? We've seen what they did to Private Manning. In the whole affair, it's also ambiguous on the steps Wiki actually took to protect the names of translators and agents at risk. And it skips the fact entirely that sites like PayPal and major credit cards had blocked donations to WikiLeaks on government order. It also seems to be a full-scale character assassination, which they say in the movie itself, of a Julian Assange based mainly on Berg's book and his point of view, painting him as a self-centered lunatic while minimizing the significance of the leaks he and WikiLeaks have provided the world. In addition, the multiple plots, international locations make it a bit hard to follow. That said, this movie is definitely worth seeing, but you have to take it with a grain of salt. I'd say it's a movie very loosely based on a true story. The Fifth Estate opens today, and Los Wild Ones and Fresh Meat are playing respectively as part of the Real Indie Film Fest and the Imaginative Film Festival, which run throughout this weekend. This is Daniel Garber, the movies each Friday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.